You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. Chinese espionage group Thrip targets satellite communications operators and others in the U.S. and Southeast Asia. Zakinlo rootkit hides inside a bogus VPN. Developers are leaving Firebase apps insecure. The EU's controversial copyright regulation advances from committee. Cardin loader malware is in beta. Anonymous is back with Op Icarus 2018. And the Bitcoin Baron goes to jail. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Symantec reported late yesterday its discovery of an extensive Chinese cyber espionage campaign targeting U.S. and Southeast Asian satellite operators, telecommunications companies, and defense contractors. The researchers attribute the activity to Thrip, a Chinese threat group Symantec has tracked for the past 5 years. The infection of satellite communication systems was particularly noteworthy and troubling. Much of the world's communications passes through communication satellites. The campaign's goal is interception of military and civilian communications. Symantec has notified the appropriate U.S. authorities. According to Bitdefender, the Zakinlo rootkit is out in renewed form, this time concealed within a malicious VPN product, S5 Mark. It affects Windows 10 machines, capturing screenshots and other data and reporting them back to its criminal controllers. Developers' failure to secure Google Firebase apps has resulted in more than 3,000 leaky apps. App Authority says more than 100 million records have been exposed by inattentive development. In fairness to the developers, Firebase is among the most popular, widely used back-end database technologies for mobile applications. Unfortunately, Firebase doesn't secure user data by default. Instead, developers must themselves secure their tables and rows of data. This is the sort of thing that gets overlooked, and so Firebase is an attractive place for attackers to come in search of unsecured data. In another instance of black markets behaving like legitimate markets, the proprietor of the Cardin loader, who
whose nom de hack is Yataz, is soliciting beta testing for their malware. Researchers at Arbor's Security Engineering and Response Team, that's ACERT, say Cardin Loader allows users to build their own bot shop with potential for resale on the criminal-to-criminal market. Cardin remains a work in progress, but it will bear watching. The European Parliament passed a new copyright regulation out of committee. To call it controversial is an understatement. Critics, and the critics include coders, users, big tech firms, and internet pioneers, well, they say it will turn the internet into a surveillance and control tool. Particularly objectionable to critics are Articles 11 and 13. Article 11 established a neighboring right for press companies that would require companies like Google and Microsoft to pay those publishers for displaying news snippets. Laws similar to Article 11 in Spain led Google News to exit the Spanish market. Article 13 established mandatory upload filtering that would require platforms to install filters that would block users from uploading copyrighted material without a license to display content. There's no sign of any mitigating fair use reservation. If there's rent seeking going on here, as there may well be, it would appear to be on behalf of big publishing houses. Critics note that the law would have a stifling effect on much internet discourse. This is easy to see in the case of memes, but it would have more widespread effects as well. Passing from committee is a first step, so this isn't EU law yet. It will have to be negotiated through the EU members' national authorities, and the law's opponents are unlikely to make that an easy process. News broke yesterday of reported sabotage by an insider at Tesla, with an email to employees from CEO Elon Musk stating that the employee had made changes to the code in manufacturing systems and had sent highly sensitive data to unknown third parties. Musk wrote, quote, "His motivation is that he wanted a promotion that he did not receive. In light of these actions, not promoting him was definitely the right move," end quote. So how do these revelations affect Tesla from a risk perspective? We checked in with Chris Pearson, CEO of Binary Sun Cyber Risk Advisors, for his take on the matter.
The risks here are actually quite interesting. I mean, first of all, they're dealing with an intellectual property risk. The theft of potentially intellectual property from them could not only serve to fuel other competitors globally, or like I said, other governments in terms of a race for self-driving autonomous vehicles. So that's quite important there. From a product side, if there are vulnerabilities or flaws, you now have some type of potential cybersecurity risk, which could be seen into these vehicles. You also have massive legal risk. I mean, you know, once again, a material cyber risk is something that they would have to report. If this is an occurrence that met that threshold of being something that investors should know about, shareholders should know about, I also think there's an enormous reputational risk, even on top of the cybersecurity risks. And this is, how do you trust the underlying operating system that's within the vehicles? How do you trust the operating systems, the manufacturing plant? How do you actually look at those? So I think there are a few different risks there. It's definitely one of those things that is perhaps around ones and zeros, but just goes home to prove the point that, look, at the end of the day, Tesla is an IT company, obviously an IT company in terms of the autonomous machines that they're potentially creating and looking towards for creating, but they are an IT company first and foremost, and the vehicle company and energy company second and third and fourth.
Yeah, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the regulatory side of things. I mean, you think about in the past, we've had manufacturers have had trouble with, any number of things that auto manufacturers have had to do recalls for. Uh-huh. But it seems like when the ratio of software to steel in a car continues to shift towards software, it's kind of a new world.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that Tesla's lucky in that regard in terms of the automated updates and the pushing of updates that they have. They've shown quite consistently over the years that they're able to go ahead and fix items, patch items, do massive updates to their vehicles. So if there was something in there, let's just say there are 100 lines of code that have been replaced or something, or there's something that's vulnerable, I think they have a pattern in history of showing that they can and will push massive updates to their vehicle fleets. And so I think that really mitigates things there. One other risk here, quite honestly, I mean, when we look at Elon Musk, when we look at the books and the articles and the speeches, you know, a lot of what he does and a lot of what he talks about is culture. It is possible, and this is the thing I'd be a little worried about, it is possible that this amount of theft could cause some type of shift in terms of trusting employees, trusting insiders. That may be more damaging long-term in terms of the types of controls that are implemented if there's as much free sharing with employees, if there's as much trust with employees as a result of this. And once again, one bad apple shouldn't make a massive change for the whole environment. But I can bet you their security teams are actually looking at how do we think about insiders and employees as on the team, but maybe with a few tighter controls and a few tighter barriers there.
That's Chris Pearson from Binary Sun Cyber Risk Advisors. Cryptocurrencies fell today on news that another South Korean exchange, BitHum, was looted of about $31 million, coming less than 2 weeks after the theft at CoinRail, which lost a reported $37 million. The loss has shaken confidence in cryptocurrency markets. While speculators will continue to pursue alternative currencies, and while they've established a place for themselves in financial markets, investors might apply the same risk-reward calculus they would use, for example, when investing in a highly speculative growth stock. As high-tech bridge CEO Ilya Kolachenko put it in an email, users who entrust their digital coins to third parties should be prepared to never see them again. This is the reality of modern Bitcoin Klondike. BitHum is not an inconsiderable exchange, although it's not the largest. Webroot senior threat research analyst Tyler Moffitt said, quote, "To be hacked is a huge deal in the crypto world and will definitely have an impact on this speculative market," end quote. He sees BitHum's offer to cover lost funds from its own reserves as a kind of silver lining, at least the customers won't take a bath, and he notes that BitHum has moved its remaining coins to an offline cold wallet. Moffitt notes that it's important to understand that this was loss of access to the private keys of online wallets, not the hacking or manipulation of the blockchain itself. So it's analogous to the sort of credential loss that has become the norm for all manner of cybercrime. Moffitt pointed out, quote, "Anyone who has these private keys is going to be able to withdraw funds as if they were the legitimate owner. Storing these keys on a computer or cloud backup, especially in plain text, is just asking for trouble," end quote. In his view, hardware wallets are a better option for holders of cryptocurrencies. Akamai notes the declarations of Op Icarus 2018 emerging from the hive mind of Anonymous. The anarcho-syndicalist collective's calls to action threaten and inspire attacks on financial institutions between the 21st and 28th of June. The operation includes or subsumes several other ops: Op Payback, Op Icarus, Delete the Elite, and SOS Nicaragua. Anonymous ops have tended to fizzle badly over the last several years, and it's been a long time since Anonymous has counted any meaningful coup, but the declared targets would do well to be on heightened alert over the next week or so. And finally, speaking of altcoins and Anonymous, there's a minor harmonic convergence of the twain in the world of crime and punishment. InfoSecurity Magazine reports that the Bitcoin Baron of Apache Junction, Arizona, has received a sentence of 20 months for charges related to his online activity. Randall Charles Tucker, 23, was convicted of organizing a distributed denial-of-service attack against the city of Madison, Wisconsin. His motives remain unclear, possibly because those motives themselves lack clarity, but the best bet is that he saw himself as an idealistic hacktivist in the Anonymous mold. Mr. Tucker has a bit of a track record. The Madison DDoS might have been prompted by a police shooting, but on the other hand, Mr. Tucker is also said to have hacked a children's hospital with inappropriate images of children. Why is he called the Bitcoin Baron? Don't know, but it's the title he gave himself, like a less effectual version of Star-Lord from the Guardians of the Galaxy. Probably poorer taste in movies and music, too. Mr. Tucker's claim of idealism have therefore prompted either skepticism or a so much the worse for idealism reaction. It's sad, really, when you can't trust the discretion, the target selection, and the aim of an anarcho-syndicalist and altcoin speculator. Well, who can you trust in this vale of tears?
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Awais Rashid. He's a professor of cybersecurity at University of Bristol. Welcome back, Awais. We want to talk today about the importance of real-world experimentation, getting out of the lab and with your research and practice. What do you have to share with us about that today?
I think the challenge we are going to face is that within the next few years, the number of devices connected to each other and the internet will outnumber humans by, depending on whose estimate do you believe, something like 5 to 1. And, you know, these systems of connected devices will underpin everything from healthcare to transport to energy and finance. And, you know, the way we communicate and share information with each other will change. So we are really talking about, you know, really large scale hyper-connected systems. So as a result, you know, we need to ensure that what we develop in the lab actually works in the real world. And as a result, you know, the way to test any kind of security solutions and architectures has to be to deploy them in the wild and understand what are the implications of that. However, that is very, very challenging because, of course, you can't deploy prototypical solutions on production environments because, of course, they may not necessarily be fit for purpose or scale very well. So we really do need large-scale experimental infrastructures that are close enough to the real world to be able to do that. And that's a big challenge.
Yeah, well, there's that old saying from warfare that no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. It seems like that could apply here as well.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the reason that normally what happens is, and we develop things. They are developed with rigor and with all good intentions by researchers and practitioners. But usually, we test them on small scale things in the lab or in an experimental setting. And then when they are deployed in real world infrastructures, they don't always scale. I'm not saying that they never scale. They don't always scale, and that's why we need to think about as to how we might be able to do this. There are a number of academic and industry organizations that run test beds, and I think there is a good argument for us to try and link some of these test bed infrastructures together so that we do have economies of scale, but also that really large scale environment that would represent the realistic setting in which security takes place in the real world.
I'm thinking of the rigorous testing that takes place when it comes to pharmaceuticals. Is that not a good example? Is it simply too expensive to do something at that scale?
I think it's not a case of expense. It's how you may deploy and test something. And the pharmaceutical industry is an interesting example because there the trials only move on to large-scale clinical trials once they've gone through smaller-scale testing, and then increasing level of confidence is built up. And I think we do need to be able to do something very, very similar. But the question is, how do we test in the wild? For example, would you be willing to deploy an experimental security solution on, say, a power grid or a nuclear power plant or a transportation system? And I think you would have to have a lot of confidence and then a lot of fail-safes built into it. And I think we need to develop those kind of protocols. Other disciplines have developed those protocols. And I think we are a little bit further from that at this point in time.
Awais Rashid, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit criticalstart.com and request a demo today. That's criticalstart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.